Have you done your best? It's a good question. Okay, just a minute. That's all that's going to matter when we get to the end of the road. And none of us know how long our road is going to be. And that's always something that I've lived with. It's always, this is not boasting, but maybe it'll encourage you or maybe it'll smarten you up. I've always had this principle, I guess, in my life, to do your best. Not like a guilt feeling that you're not doing your best, but, you know, if the Lord has given me something, then I believe I should use it for the Lord. We were traveling the other day, and Peter's sister called him, and because I had been so sick and invalid and everything a few years ago, people still ask me, how's Joan doing? And so I said, well, I feel that the Lord has given me back my life, has given me back my health, and I can't quit now. You know, however long that he allows that or whatever he allows me to do. Because he restored me so much, I thought I was done. But now that he's given me back my health, I can't believe I'm doing what I'm doing, because you don't know how bad I was, that I just have to see what I do what I can for the Lord. Anyway, that's not what I'm preaching on. But how many of you can say this morning that what we just sang is your testimony? And your life would have been a lot different if it hadn't been for the Lord's mercy. Okay? Who needs God's mercy and forgiveness and grace every day? Okay? And we'll continue to until you leave this earth. I've got that feeling. Who believes, I'm sorry for so many questions, it's probably the last one. Who believes God is a God of great mercy and a God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and on and on, and you're glad that he is for your sake? Okay? I'm going to speak for a few minutes. I think this is going to be a short sermon, but that's all right, hey? You get a short one, scattered time. I'm going to speak on mercy. Mercy is the compassionate, kindly forbearance shown toward an offender or an enemy, and is also the power of a judge to pardon. That's what mercy is. Let's pray before we read scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy today. We are so undeserving, most of us, and we always will be, but we thank you that you will always be merciful. I thank you for your word today. I pray for your wisdom and your guidance and your strength, mentally, physically, Lord, to deliver your word. May it touch some heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read from John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. And if you notice up in the first part of that chapter, we'll get into that in just a second. We'll read the scripture first. John chapter 1, verses 1, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And as he did the day before, and that's what I was going to say, in the chapter previous to that, he was teaching in the temple, and the scribes and Pharisees were questioning as to who Jesus was. They were giving him a hard time, as they are going to do here again. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin cast among you, let him cast a stone at her. First cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The title of my sermon is, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And there's a couple of verses I want to read in the same passage, in the message, the Bible called the message. And it says, he straightened up and said, the sinless one among you, go first, throw the stone. And then another verse, he says, hearing that, they walked away, one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her, woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? She said, no one, Master. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go on your way. From now on, don't sin. I want to ask you a question, and I hope I won't be misunderstood, because I was telling Larry this morning, I had kind of a struggle with this sermon, but that doesn't mean that it's not for today. Is God's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his salvation available for every form of sin except for the unpardonable sin, for every transgression, for every form of immorality? Is his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness for the liar, for the adulterer, for the thief, for the fornicator, for the murderer, for the abuser, for the drug addict, and for the alcoholic? And if these people truly repent and turn from their sin, would we find it difficult, I wonder, to believe that they are really changed and can go on to be used by God? Because sometimes we have a difficulty. When we see someone living in sin, well, I don't know. And I can give you a good example of that, but I won't give it to you right now. Sin is an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. To do wrong, or a thought or act that endangers the ideal relationship between an individual and God. Does anyone have sin today? Huh. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and 23. But 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then Romans 6, chapter 1 and 2, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Sin leads to spiritual death, yes. But if we ask forgiveness, if we ask for forgiveness, he forgives us. We don't continue to sin to abuse grace, do we? Oh, well, I can come to the Lord and ask forgiveness. You know, I'll just do it and then I'll ask the Lord to forgive me. That's not the best way to live. Nor should we be afraid to ask for mercy when we do, because we all do. And if you wonder what God thinks of sin, just look at the cross. And you look at the man that was slain on the cross. If you wonder how serious sin is and what God thinks of sin, and I'm not here to point out sin, just let me continue. In the scripture that we read this morning, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman that was caught in adultery, and I'm not preaching on adultery. You can put in there any kind of sin that you can think of, be it a liar, be it a fornicator, be it a thief, whatever kind of homosexual, you can put that in there if you want. But he brought a woman that was caught in adultery, and the people that brought her, the scribes and Pharisees, they were not as concerned about the woman's sin as they were about trying to trick Jesus. And sometimes people on the outside that are probably under conviction, some of them, or know where they should be and they're not, they will try to trick us Christians, won't they? Yeah, but what about? And so they brought this, they were trying to do the same, I think, to Jesus to see if they could bring something against him and trick him and see what he says about this now. And we've got to be on our guard, because I'm sure maybe many of you have been approached in the same way. What do you say about this? Or what do you say about such a one? But all along, they know the difference. Most people know the difference when they're trying to start an argument. Anyway, and then they say, according to the law, and that was true in Deuteronomy chapter 22, it says an adulterer is supposed to be stoned, taken out and stoned. And I tell you, after being in ministry, and also seeing the same thing in my own family, adultery, and the pain that it causes in a family, I think maybe they should be stoned. No, you know, that's what you feel like. Because I've had it happen to my sisters, and we've seen it happen in our ministry, and it causes a lot of pain, a terrible lot of pain. But let's look at how Jesus handled this. When he says, hey, Lord, what are you going to do about this? Right? And Jesus, in all of his wisdom, and we need the wisdom of Jesus when we're going to handle people, especially in this day and age, when the people that are out there with all these letters, people that I don't even can't quote them, or the drug addict, whatever, because this day and age, there's a lot of mess out there. And if you're going to be approached by any of these, or you're going to try to witness to any of these people, you're going to need wisdom. Don't try to do it on your own, because you might mess it up. But Jesus never messes anything up. And let's see how he handled this. He bent over. First of all, he was there, and he bends over, and without a word, no arguing at all, without a word, he bent over and wrote on the ground. Now, we've got all kinds of answers as to what Jesus wrote on the ground. Well, that's not important. It's how he handled this. Jesus bent over and he wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear them, because he had a plan. He knew how to handle. I'm sure he'd handled opposition before. And when they kept on nagging him and asking him, he got up, he bent up and he said, the one who has no sin, cast the first stone. Ooh. Here's this very sinful woman in the midst, you know. Oh, she's bad. But Jesus wrote on the ground and he says, okay, first one without sin, cast the stone first. Go ahead, throw the stone. And then he bends over and writes on the ground again. There was not one among them that didn't have sin, without sin. Is there any among us that don't have sin? I know you're saved and you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I know that. But we do fail, don't we? And we will continue to fail. He wrote on the ground again, and no stones were thrown. And one by one, they, as we say in Newfoundland, moseyed off. They just strolled off. And we also, my mother used to say, guilty as sin. Have you heard that one? Guilty as sin. They didn't have a leg to stand on because they knew that they had sin in their life as well. So they're left there then is just Jesus, the sinless one, and this sinner. They're just left there. But you know, just because you and I, they probably thought that they were self-righteous, of course they did, they were scribes and Pharisees, and thought, look how bad she is, Lord. But until whatever Jesus wrote on the ground, they probably said, we're not as bad as her. But I don't know, whatever he wrote on the ground certainly pricked their conscience. And they knew that they had no right to throw the stone either. But even if we're not as bad, as you want to say, as some other people, I'm not as bad as a murderer. You hear that lots of times. Well, I'm not that bad. I didn't do this. And look at that one. Look how much he did, or her. And even if we're not as bad as the really bad ones, doesn't mean that we don't have any sin, does it? We need to sometimes take the mote, the plank out of our own eye, in order to take the mote out of someone else's. Note that what Jesus said to her. So there's Jesus and this poor woman together alone. Jesus said, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Pretty simple, hey? Could have been quite a racket there, you know? But Jesus handled it so well. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now you might think, well, why didn't Jesus just tell her, you know, how bad adultery is? You know how, you know, lecture on and on and on, like a lot of us might do. Well, you know you shouldn't. You know you shouldn't. And you know this and you know that. But I believe that when she looked at Jesus, she knew she was guilty. Because when you're in the presence of Jesus, really open in the presence of Jesus, there comes some kind of a transparency there. So I believe she looked at Jesus, she knew she was guilty. And Jesus looked past her guilt. Now get this, we don't like to do this. No, they're guilty. Punishment, you know. Jesus looked, and you might not agree with me on this. This is why I had a struggle with it, because it's not a popular sermon. So I said, Lord, please tell Peter to preach. I don't want to preach. But he wouldn't do it. Jesus looked past her guilt. And without lecturing her, he said, I don't condemn you. He didn't condone her sin, but he didn't condemn the person. See, no matter how big the sin, Because is there any big sin and little sins? Sin is sin, isn't it? No matter how big the sin, which we like to concentrate on sometimes, Jesus sees the need that is in that person. He sees you. He sees the need that the vilest of sinners has, because they wouldn't be doing what they're doing if they didn't have a need. There's a reason, and I'm not condoning any of the horrendous acts and the horrendous practices and the horrendous lifestyles. I'm not condoning any of that, any of it. It's wrong, yes. But for everyone that takes drugs, for everyone that goes into a different lifestyle, to everyone that's out there robbing and they're in a bad state, they're in prison, they've got their life ruined, there's a reason behind what every person does. There's a reason behind it. We might not know it. But to me, there's a reason behind every act. And Jesus knows what their need is. And I believe if Jesus were to go amongst some of these people, I don't think he would lecture them. I just don't think he would. He wouldn't condone it. No, he wouldn't condone it. But I believe Jesus would show mercy if they wanted mercy. Because that's the only answer for those people that need Jesus. And I believe that this woman, she could sing after she had met with Jesus. She could sing, "Mercy rewrote my life." If she did, went out and sinned no more and did what Jesus told her to do or not to do, I believe she had a different lifestyle, because Jesus showed mercy. Mercy. He didn't say, "Okay, you can go now. Nobody else is accusing you. You go now, lady." No, he said, "Go and sin no more." And I believe that's what we need to do to people that we need to minister to. We don't condone their sin, but we recognize their sin, that they're wrong, and say, "Now confess your sin and go and sin no more." I've heard it said that Jesus preached a silent sermon in the sand. Didn't he? Didn't he speak very loud? He preached a pretty good sermon there, but just writing in the sand. I wish it was that easy. But Jesus preached a very loud sermon. He got across a very important lesson. None of us are perfect, though we try to be. And I like what my husband told me, a board member said to him in one of our previous churches. I don't know what they were discussing. But this man said, "Let's not be too quick to judge or condemn someone who has chosen to sin differently than you have." That's pretty profound, isn't it? This man was a profound man. But let's not condemn or judge too quickly. We don't condone. Don't get me wrong. We're not condoning. But you're not going to change them. Only Jesus can change them. But you don't condemn them. We say, "Yes, we do. That's not right. What you're doing is wrong." Yes, it is wrong. And we don't condone a lifestyle that's against Scripture. But Jesus didn't all of a sudden just condemn her. If Jesus had condemned her and said, "Yes, stone her," her life would have been over and he would not have had the chance to rescue her. Jesus says to us, if we ask for forgiveness, yeah, ask forgiveness. But then he says, "Okay, you've asked for forgiveness, now stop doing what you're doing that's causing the separation between you and me. Stop it." He may forgive and he may not condemn you, but he doesn't condone what you do. He forgives, and now he says, "Move on, move on." We've been praying it for Chauvin Gospel Center. We've been praying, and we prayed Thursday night. You'll remember if you were there, and I encourage you to come. There's a small number of us at our prayer meetings, and if you can at all make it, if you've got to set something aside even, we need to pray together as a congregation. This is our source of power and strength. But we were praying, "Lord, bring in the unsaved, bring them in from the outside." And there's a little chorus we used to sing when I was a little girl in Sunday school. "Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin," right? Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. But if we were to, if the abuser and the homosexual and the fornicator and the adulterer and the drug addict and the alcoholic were to come into our church like we want them to, we are not to condemn them. We are not to condone them. We don't condemn living that's against Scripture, but I believe we have to show mercy. Otherwise, how is mercy going to rewrite their life? Who's going to show them mercy if we don't, when they come into our church? We have to show them the same mercy that's been shown to you. Did not Jesus show you mercy? Where would you be, as I said before, if Jesus had not had mercy on you? Where would you be? Probably not here sitting in a seat today, worshiping the Lord, or even in church. And when I was reading through this, and when they said, it's written in the law, I looked up the Ten Commandments. I said, yeah, that's the law. And I looked up the Ten Commandments, and you know, it's so interesting that if we lived by even by the Ten Commandments today, how different our world would be. And it's because we're not. And because the Bibles are taken out of our schools, and the kids aren't even taught the Ten Commandments, partly. But just listen to the Ten Commandments and contrast it with the way the world is today. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down unto any graven image or serve it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If we lived this way, what a different world we would have. Honor thy father and mother. Okay. Thou shalt not kill. Can you think of any killings lately? The freedom of the guns. Thou shalt not commit adultery. A lot of marriages would be saved, wouldn't they? A lot of heartache would be saved. If we lived, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. And do you covet? Are you content with what you have, or do you covet thy neighbor's house or his wife or his manservant or maidservant or anything that he has? Are you looking and saying, I want better. I want what they got. And that's where there's so much trouble these days. I want better. I'm not satisfied with what I got. I got to get better. I got to get bigger. But the Lord tells us, be content with what you have. But it was so interesting that, you know, if we almost all of the Ten Commandments are being broken. And if we just took them and lived by them, what a better world we would have. And we're not under the law, I know that. But, you know, it was written there for a reason, right? We used to sing a chorus, I don't know if you sing it here. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. Did you sing that? Have you sung that here? We sang it in Newfoundland. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Hey? Isn't it good to know that his love and his grace is not just for us that are here sitting pretty in church? It's for those, especially for those on the outside who need it. He gives it to all who will ask. And if you're here this morning, I don't know your past. I don't know you that well. I don't know what you've done in your past. It's not really any of my business. But if you've asked God to forgive you of whatever you've done in your past, and you are sincerely trying to live for the Lord, if Jesus don't condemn you, don't let anyone else or yourself condemn you. You're forgiven, move on. Isn't that right? Sometimes we can look back, well, you know, I don't have a very good reputation in my previous life. No, but your previous life is past, isn't it? And too many Christians, I think, just get bound and they don't move past and let go of their past and say, okay, now, Lord, I'm forgiven. Yeah, you've forgiven me. I'm not condemned anymore. That's not supposed to affect me anymore. God wants to use you when your past is past. Move on. And if you're listening to, I don't know if this sermon is being taped or not, but if it is, and you're listening to my sermon, or if you're here this morning, and you think, I'm gone too far in sin, I'm too deep in sin, how can God forgive me? I'm into this, I'm into that, I've done this, I've done that. Well, that's not true. You never go too far that God can't reach you. His mercy has no limit. And we have to realize that when we see those people and we think they're hopeless, God don't see them as hopeless. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. And his power has no boundaries that we think. We think, well, how can God reach that? You know, I don't know if you don't know Bull Roberts, Michael Bull Roberts, and we had him in Deer Lake. He's tattooed from head to toe. And he was a drug dealer, and he has a horrendous history. and the drug gangs tried to kill him, left him for dead, all this stuff. But that man met the Lord, and now he's living for the Lord. Anyone, if you or I would have looked at him, we would have said, no hope, no hope. But when they meet Jesus, there's hope, isn't there? I don't know if you're looking at me. I don't know if you believe what I'm saying, that there's so much hopelessness out there. And if anyone is going to come in, most likely, you know, you might get those kind of people. We had them in Deer Lake. They came in off the streets. The worst of the worst, as you want to say. But so was Paul, and God transformed him. The worst of the worst came into Deer Lake Church when the move of God was on. And some people might have had to say, yep, you know what I mean? Yeah, well, we'll see how that works, right? But when they really met Jesus and were determined and held on, one man now is on his way to Bible school, as far as I know, to be an evangelist, and he was a drug pusher. But he met the right people and he met God. Isn't that all that matters? This adulterous woman met Jesus. Isn't that all that matters? Isn't that what saved your life because you met Jesus? It's too hot here to fall asleep. Okay? There's no life that's hopeless for Jesus, is there? He condemns the sin, but he does not condemn the sinner. Right? I guess I don't know why I'm preaching that, but if we're praying for lost souls to come in, I think we better prepare ourselves for what might come in. If you're going to throw out the net, you've got to put up with what you get in the net. Right? I read somewhere when I was preparing this or getting ready for the bulletin, sometimes I put a quote in there and it said, you bring them in and God will clean them up. Or you save them and let God clean them. Isn't that true? Maybe some of you didn't look real good either when you were out in sin. But when you met Jesus, you needed mercy and you needed grace and you needed someone to show you love and patience and to mentor you. You weren't all like the wonderful Christians that you are today. You had to start somewhere. Someone had to bring you in. The Holy Spirit had to bring you in. And if you're thinking that I've gone too far, I'm just too far in sin. As I said, if this over the podcast or if you're here, call a Christian friend or call your pastor or contact the church. God wants to save you. There's no reason to continue on in sin, is there? There's no sin too big, is there? And let his mercy rewrite your life. I think I will share a little story, a reality story, just to let you see how real this is. One of the members of my family, one of my sisters actually, her husband was very, very unfaithful, big time, bad, bad, bad. He was a very heavy drinker, had no time for God or church. So once she found out, after several times of lying, et cetera, very, very bad, messy picture. Of course, she left him and came home. And we, us Christians, were saying to her, Jean, just leave him, Jean. Just, you know, you don't need someone like that, Jean. He's hopeless, Jean. You know, give up on him, Jean. Just move on. You don't need him. You don't need a kind of a man like that. Look what he's doing. Look how unfaithful he is. Look how much he's lying to you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she wouldn't give up. She kept praying, and we thought she was stupid. We thought she was a fool for trying to want to win this man back after all he had done for her, and we thought she was too. What was the point? And I know one time my sister and I were on the phone talking, and my son Justin was there, and I had to say, oops, he said, you're talking about him again, eh? You're backbiting again or something like that, you know, because we were saying how bad he was and, you know, what Gene should do because he was so bad. Well, let me tell you something. That man, he called my brother one night, who's a pastor, and he said, Gary, I saw the light. What am I doing to my family? Somehow, God must have reached him somewhere through prayers, maybe my sister's prayers, who had no reason to pray for that man. He got on the road. He got on the road to recovery and through Celebrate Recovery and got into the Word and Christians, and he started going to church. And you know, to be honest, shame on us, we were saying, yeah, maybe, I bet, you know. I can't see him really. He's going to just show up someday and say he failed her again, hey? But that man, this has been going on. He's been faithful and going to church and serving the Lord and reading his Bible for a couple years now. And a couple of Sundays ago, that man got baptized in water in church and gave his testimony. I tell you that to say there's no hopeless case. And even though we might think they're hopeless, but if God gets a hold of them and we show them love and concern, and so, you know, there was often in the back of our mind, she went back with him like, oh boy, you're taking chances there. But because we didn't believe that God had really changed his life. And let me tell you, if some of those homosexuals or the mess that's out there come into our church and they confess to God and they come to God and ask for his mercy, you and I better show mercy and love and grace. Okay? We cannot condemn. We don't have the right to condemn if God forgives. If you are here this morning and I know God has shown mercy and rewrote your life, he would be able to give me, a testimony and say, boy, I was not good until I met God. You can just raise your hand. I won't put you on the spot. I know my husband was. He was, and I wasn't perfect either, you know. But I know he was, and like he said, that's his testimony. He was on a bad road. And I know, Terry, you were. And most of you probably were on a bad road until mercy. God showed you mercy. So why can't we have that for everyone else that's out there and that needs it? And if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I need God's mercy. I'm not on a good road. I need God to rewrite my life because if I stay on the road I'm on now, it's not going to look pretty, maybe. Any road outside of God is not the best road, is it? It's not the best road. It's a second choice road, but it's not the best road. If you're here this morning, I'm going to ask my husband to come, and we're going to sing before we take communion. We're going to sing that chorus again, Mercy Rewrote My Life. And if you're here this morning and you need God's mercy to rewrite your life like we all did, because without God's mercy, we wouldn't be here. We're going to sing the chorus a couple of times, and if you want to come to this altar, we would invite you.